Romans chapter 3, and then I'm going to read a verse or two in Job chapter 39. Romans chapter 3, Job chapter 39, and then I also want to read one verse of Scripture in the book of Hebrews chapter 12. So we've got our fingers in three places tonight. Hebrews chapter 12, Romans chapter 3, and the book of Job chapter 39. Job is just before Psalms. It's right about the middle of the Bible. And then both Romans and Hebrews are in the New Testament, both epistles of the Apostle Paul, and Job being the oldest book in the Bible. And so we'll read from there tonight. If you found your place and want to stand with us, we'd invite you to do so for the reading of God's Word. We'll read together and then we'll pray together as well. I want to begin reading, first of all, in the book of Romans tonight. We'll read Romans first, chapter 3, and I want to begin reading here in this epistle of Paul's epistle to the believers in Rome is by many writers deeming this to be one of his great masterpieces as far as theological foundation and just an amazing truth and truths depicted here in this book. The pinnacle, the summit, or the height of the book of Romans is here in chapter 3. Everything prior to this builds up to the gleaming pinnacle, the summit, the peak of the mountain here in chapter 3. Everything after this and to the ending of the book in chapter 16 is pulling and gleaning from chapter 3. So it's an amazing portion of Scripture tonight I want to bring to us, help us to see some truth in God's Word. The Bible says, beginning now, chapter 3, I want to begin looking here in verse number 22. The Bible says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time His righteousness, that He might be the just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. I want to look now into the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, in verse number 2. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Now let's flip back over to our other text in the book of Job, and we'll read a verse here. Verse number 13 in Job chapter 39, the Bible says, gavest thou the goodly wings unto the peacocks, or wings of feathers unto the ostrich. Let's bow for prayer tonight. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for your grace to us, Lord. Thank you, God, once again for letting us be in your house tonight. Thank you, Lord, for everyone that's come out, Lord, those that you have brought here according to, Lord, to your divine will. I thank you for that tonight, God. I realize tonight, God, that there's not one single person here by mistake. Lord, everyone's here by your design and by your will. And Lord, we thank you and welcome that tonight. I pray and claim the blood of Christ tonight over the service, Lord. Thank you, God, for being our friend, our Savior, and our Redeemer. I ask you, God, that you would please now cast out any imagination, any foul spirit, God. I ask you to please tonight, Lord, would you collectively or grab our minds and our attention tonight, God, that we may be looking and focused upon you. Lord, tonight I ask and beg tonight for help in the service, God. Speak to every heart. Manifest yourself to us, Lord. Awaken sinners tonight, God, I pray, in need of a Savior. I pray specifically for the church tonight, God, that you would help us to look inside our hearts, God, that you manifest yourself to us in a special way. Lord, revive us again, I pray, Lord. Manifest your Spirit to us tonight. Father, we know that you're real. We know, Lord, that you exist. And we're asking tonight, God, not according to our works, but according to your riches, Lord, in glory, your riches in grace, and from thine abundance, God, would you please bestow a blessing upon us tonight, God. Lord, help us, I pray, to grow spiritually. Help the saints of God tonight to grow and mature, Lord, on into perfection, God. And Lord, I pray you use us tonight, God, as your mouthpiece. God, my mind, Lord, I pray my words tonight that I say only the things that would exalt the Savior and, Lord, diminish ourselves. I thank you tonight, God, for all you've done. Confess before you in this congregation that I have, Lord, no ability, Lord, tonight, unless it comes from heaven. Please, I pray, loose us now, loose my tongue. Lord, I pray, give us liberty and unction to preach, Lord, for your glory's sake. I pray you would draw us again to your bleeding side tonight. Help us, I pray. Help those that are wounded tonight, God. Those that's come in with a heavy heart, I pray. Would you fix what's broken? Those coming in, God, with questions, would you give answers, I pray, tonight? Manifest yourself to us in a special way. And in Jesus' name we pray. The church said,
Amen.
Thank you for praying. You can be seated tonight. Gavest thou goodly wings unto the peacocks. That's an amazing portion of Scripture. Job is having a conversation with God. Job has gone, is undergoing great suffering and great trials and great turmoil. It is Job that has undergone in one day the loss of property, the loss of his entire fortune. All of his livelihood, his livestock is gone, his household is gone. The Bible says his house fell, and we know that it was destroyed utterly. We know that his servants were slain, his family and sons and daughters have been killed. And they've been camels have been carried away by those neighboring Sabaeans, those people that live nearby. They came in and stole away. Job finds himself in a place of ashes, and he fell down and worshipped. And he said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. And the Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Job had lost everything that he could possibly imagine to have. He loses his health. The Bible speaks that from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, he's filled with sore boils. These boils have caused him to return to the ash pile to scrape and to find some sort of comfort and relief. In this place, a time of suffering, Job has some friends that come and they begin to give bad advice. In this time of suffering, God begins to have a conversation with Job. It's been chapter after chapter after chapter after chapter that God has remained in complete silence. What great suffering it is to know that God has pulled away and He has chosen not to speak to you. And so He has undergone great mental suffering, physical suffering, spiritual suffering. And He is trying to understand, trying to commune, trying to reason His case before His friends, not understanding what God is doing. And I want to remind us tonight that the Bible tells us in the prophet's words in Isaiah chapter number 1 and in verse number 18, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." God is a reasonable God. And He wants to reason. He wants to communicate. And in this understanding, God breaks the silence and begins to communicate with Job. In this sense of reasoning, Job lines up his very best case before God. And in a few words, God blows his case all to smithereens. And Job is there standing, kneeling, sitting before God, who is the invisible God. Not until Christ is appeared upon the earth, according to the book of Colossians, chapter 1, as Paul writes from the prison cell in Rome to help these Colossian believers. He said this, "Whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature." And so we know that God, when He come and dwelt among us, He come in the body shape of Jesus Christ, who was born in a lowly manger. And the Bible says, "For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is above all things. And He is before all things. And by Him all things consist." And so we know that Jesus Christ, God has set Him far above all principality and power, above all dominion, above every throne, and He has put all these things under His feet, according to Romans chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 1. So now then we understand that Jesus is in charge. They was all there in the beginning. The pre-incarnate Christ was there when God said to the other three of the Godhead, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, when He said, "Let us make man in our image." Who else was He talking to? None other than Jesus Himself and the Holy Spirit. And so I appreciate tonight that we serve a triune God that's in control. There's not a star that twinkles at night that God doesn't know its name and know exactly its coordinates and where it sets in the atmosphere. And we know tonight that when God begins to reason with Job, and Job begins to set his case out before Him, that God uses a knowledge of the creation to explain to Job, that Job might see some things. And so we understand that He begins to talk about the stars in verse 38. And He makes mention that can you loose the bands of Orion? Can you cast out these stars? Who controls? He's asking questions to Job, not in a sense that he doesn't know the answer, but he's coming from the standpoint of reason. He's trying to get Job to see some things about himself.